So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Hey everybody, it's Dan Latto speaking. Welcome to the Business Showcase Show. You'll notice I have to have the title underneath it, otherwise I'll forget what I'm supposed to be doing. It's the first episode today, and I've got a special guest by the name of David Price, who runs a business called Your Art Butler. Welcome, David. How are you doing today?
Thank you, mate. Very well indeed, actually. Yourself?
Yes, very good. So you're based in Leeds, I understand?
I am indeed, yes.
Okay, and just explain in a nutshell what your business is and what it does and how it helps people.
Cool. Okay, so the business is yourartbutler.com, and basically we sell high quality limited edition prints. So basically, artists great at doing the art, but they're not terribly good on the marketing and sales side. So the idea is an artist from anywhere in the world can take a high res image of their painting, upload it to our site, and then we actually produce limited edition prints from that. So we do all the printing, so we do all the work for the artists. So it means the artist can earn a passive income from an original painting that they've actually already sold.
Okay.
So it's supporting artists.
Effectively, then, you're kind of like a broker in the middle, because you're getting... And by the way, I draw everything out, so I have to apologise now, but it just helps other people see it. Because also, the whole idea of a show is that other people can get ideas on how to either improve their business or start a business. So this is you at the top. That's the artist, let's say. And my handwriting's terrible, as you know. So that's the artist. And then you've got you in the middle. And then down here, other people who might actually want to buy art.
Yep.
Is that right?
That's
so what
right.
You do is you sign up artists, they come onto your website, and then you demonstrate, or you send out by email, or you use social media. And I've seen some of your posts already, by the way. Some of the artwork is absolutely amazing. And I'm sat there and I'm looking at this and I'm like, where could I put that pic? Do you know what I mean? I have to leave the website because I know what I'm like. I'll go, oh, I'll buy that, you know. So that's really cool. Where did the idea for that business come up?
So I've been an artist for 20 years or so, and to be honest, I fit the standard criteria of loving the art but being crap at the marketing and the sales. So when I was talking to some friends who were doing limited edition prints, it was like, oh, I've never even thought about doing that. Sounds a great idea. But it's always problematic from an artist's point of view if you're producing them yourself. Because every time you've got an order, you've got to go to your printers, get it printed. Then you've got to go to the post office, post it out. So the idea is we could actually automate all of that for artists. So sort of came from the desire of I wanted to sell more of my art, and being able to sell prints for it easily would be great. And how that would benefit other friends who are actually artists as well. So that's where the whole thing came from.
So this is interesting, because I always see in business when I am speaking to business owners, they're good at one particular aspect and they're not so good at all the other aspects. And then they go on training courses to try and get better at these things that they're not very good at. And at best, they become mediocre or moderately mediocre at doing these different things. And actually, if they just stuck on doing the artwork, because that's really where their specialism is, then if they could get to a situation where all they do is paint or draw or whatever, develop the art in whatever art they do, and they had a different way of actually selling it. And I think it's interesting for people to see this, because you might be a plumber, for example, and you're great at plumbing, but what does a plumber know about marketing? And so they do the bog standard stuff, like they place an advert in a newspaper. Well, that doesn't work. They might get the car stickered up. That works a little bit. They might hand out business cards at networking events. That works a little bit. But they never really kind of get off the ground. And so they spend, I don't know, let's say 40 hours a week doing the plumbing, another 20 hours a week doing paperwork, and another 10 hours a week trying to work out how to get more business. And then it's like they can't take on more business because they're still working 40-hour weeks. I mean, it's just this constant wheel, like a hamster, of going round. And every week is the same, and it's hard work. And every week they say to themselves, it'll be better next week. And it never is, because there's no systemization on the business at all. So with you being a broker, you've already got people who are presenting the artistry. Is that the right way of saying it? You've got the art being presented to you. And then all you've got to do as a broker is go out and find people who are ready to buy art. So really, you've got two customers in your business. You've got the artist who has the product. And the product could be art, or it could be baked beans. Could be the best baked beans on the planet. it doesn't matter what that product is, because you're acting as a broker and using your skills as a broker. It happens to be art, of course, because that's what you love anyway. And I've got some of your art, Dave, still.
you haven't even forgotten about that.
we have got some art, yeah. So how did you come up with the idea of doing this specifically?
So you could see the need for artists, the need for some sales and marketing skills in how artists were marketing their work. And I say, I was a classic example of that when I talked to other artists' mates. Can I buy some of your art online? It's like, oh, no, you have to send me an email, and then we'll negotiate on price. And so the whole thing seemed quite complicated from an artist's point of view, where this gives them just a really easy solution, a couple of minutes, they can upload their art and just leave it to us to do the sales side of it.
Okay. And then in terms of you finding, because you've got two customers, as we said, you've got to find the artists, and then also you've got to find the people that are ready to buy art. So let's deal with the artists. What methodology do you use to go out and find the artists who are wanting to sell more of their artwork? I mean, obviously all of them want to sell more of it, but how do you find them?
Yeah, this has been a really tricky one, because it's chicken and egg as well. If you've got a website and you're the only artist on there, what other artist is going to join up with you? So we've tried. Basically, I take the view of as many mistakes as we can make in a shorter possible time as recruiting artists works.
Yes, love it.
So we put adverts out on Facebook to recruit artists, which worked very well to getting artists in, capturing their email addresses. The quality of those artists is interesting. Again, because if you've got lower quality artists on the site, it puts off higher quality artists signing up with you. So now we don't actually advertise for the artists at all. We actually go and proactively find them on Instagram and Facebook, where they're already putting their work out there. But you can see how you can make it so much better, how they could actually be marketing their work. So, huge learning process.
Let me drill down into that, because you've actually demonstrated there are two types of marketing. The first one is more of a scattergun approach, where you're sending out, here's what we do, and you're sending it everywhere to everyone. That's one type of marketing. That's what we call push marketing, where you just send it, and it's like advertising in a magazine. You don't know who's looking at it, everybody or nobody, and you don't know who has looked at it. So it's pushing your message out and hoping someone's going to respond to it. And then the second type is what we'd call pull marketing, where you're actually going for more of an interaction because you found them on LinkedIn, let's just say. Do artists use LinkedIn? Instagram, I guess. Pinterest, I guess. But then you kind of pull them back to your website with a more of a consulting approach. What's your biggest problem? Can't sell any art. Okay, what if we could solve that problem for you? So I find that quite interesting and a good demonstration of the two types of marketing there.
Yeah, it's interesting because we had the view, because the whole thing is completely free to artists, do we go and get hundreds of thousands of artists and just get everybody signed up around the world?
Yeah.
Or do you go down that route of, no, we actually want very good quality artists where we think we've really got a good chance of selling their work? So it's been a learning curve, but yeah, where we are now, it just seems to be the right thing. We choose the artists rather than doing advertisements.
And then also you mentioned that you don't charge the artists. So how do you get paid?
So we only make money when we actually sell our prints.
Okay.
So from the artist's perspective, it means there's no risk in signing up with us at all.
So right here then, effectively. So you're not charging these people up here. And I'm assuming you're not charging the investors. I mean, you do kind of charge the investors, but it's not a direct charge. It's as a commission. So it's really the artist that's paying you. But again, only when that thing's being sold.
Yeah, we wanted it to be as attractive to artists as possible. So the fact that we never actually charge them any money at all works well. And they make money from the first print, and they can decide how much money they want to make as well. So we say, right, to produce a print is going to cost X. 40 quid, say, if you want a margin of 20 quid on every sale, then we sell them for £60. And then that's what the end buyer pays.
Perfect. And then to find the people who love art and want to buy more art, how do you go about finding those people?
So, because we're still really in a startup, we've been going about 6 months or so. So the first problem has been trying to get artists on board. Obviously, if you haven't got a decent number of artists and a decent amount of art, there's no point going out to the end buyer. So we're just over the last week or two beginning to get to that point now. What we have been doing, though, is pushing the artists to push out the work on social media. If somebody's already got a connection with the artist, it makes it much more likely to buy their work. So from going to get an artist to actually share one of their images on social media, which was quite a hard thing to begin with, we now write in all the posts for the artists to push out. We tell them what images to share on Facebook, how to run their marketing, basically. So at the moment, we're encouraging the artist to promote it as well as they can to their connections. And then the next step of the process, now we're nearly there with the artist, is going to be how we find those direct clients.
Yeah, I've got it. I was going to say, I'm just diagramming up because I think this is really important. So what you've got is artists, and I've numbered them 1 through 9. Let's assume you've got 9 artists. So artist number one, who's got a piece of art that they want to sell, they go to their social media, and this is a social media, and that could be Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter or Instagram, and they send out your web page, not your website, but their page on your website. They send that out to their social media, right? Is that how it works?
Exactly. That's it.
And then you have artist number two, and then they send it out to that one, to their social media. And then artist number three, they send it out, artist number six, artist number four. And then effectively what I'm guessing happens is that all these people who are on social media, so all the... I have to apologize about my diagrams. I know how bad they are. But these represent all the different people. They then land on the entire website, and they will then look at not just this artist, but potentially other artists as well. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so you should be seeing your website traffic increasing month on month. And is that what's happening?
Yes, going up week by week. I say it's only the last week or so we've actually started getting constantly into, right, we know how to get the artists now. Right. 2 weeks ago, we were still doing adverts for artists.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's really interesting. But it's a learning curve. It's like anything else, learning how to do it and failing forward, which was what you mentioned before. You're failing as fast and as quick as you can, from someone who's got a lot of experience of failing faster. I could tell you that's definitely the right way of doing it, as long as it doesn't wipe you out. I see some people failing forward and they take $100,000, I plow it all in and it doesn't work. And the idea is to fail forwards, but with as little risk as possible. So the failures that you're having are tiny little failures that you can learn from, that heal. It's like lifting weights. The muscle gets bigger because it creates little tears in the muscle, and then as it repairs, it gets stronger. And that's exactly what you're doing. It's a wicked way of doing it. So what's the next step on this business then? Like, I don't want to know how many website visitors you get, because that's all private information, but have you got goals that you want to achieve without mentioning numbers? What's the next step in terms of moving this and making it bigger?
So the next step, we know what we're doing with that, and that process seems to be going to be going fine. So the next step is actually going directly to buyers, and this is where I think we've got quite a big challenge, because art is a bit weird. It's not like buying a coffee table. If you're looking to buy a coffee table, if I show you 30 on a website, you'll probably like one. I can show you 300 pieces of art and none of them might actually resonate with you.
Yeah.
So this is where I'm really concerned how we're going to do it. The initial thoughts are being able to try and get an idea of each individual visitor to the website likes. So what type of art do they actually browse on the site? What type of artists do they browse on the site? And I've heard the term about Facebook pixel, about being able to retarget them.
Yeah.
We've heard about it. We've got it switched on. That's going to be the next learning step, is now how do we go directly to someone who we know likes abstract art or just likes landscape art, and being able to forward them just the type of art they like.
So the problem with a Facebook pixel is if you're not getting enough traffic on a website anyway, there's not enough traffic to actually fire the pixel. So you end up, you might have your ads set up on Facebook, but Facebook are not delivering any adverts at all to the people who've been on your website because there's simply not enough traffic. So it's kind of a catch-22. You can't get enough traffic because it's not firing. So then you need to get traffic, but you can't get enough traffic because it's not firing. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of this catch-22. Your key really is to absolutely get more artists on board and push it out to their social media presence as much as possible. Is there any influencers, I hate that term, But is there any influencers on Instagram that could push out your stuff? I mean, I suppose that artists should be influencers. Is there anything like that that you could do?
The key influence in the market from the perspective of recruiting artists, you mean, or
just people who love art?
Delivery at the front door.
Literally. Yeah. You know what? That happens to me all the time. I was on a Facebook Live last week.
When you try everything's live.
Yeah, absolutely. This happened to me last week. We had the guy knocking on the gate.
Right.
That's so funny.
Edit that bit out when we come back to it.
Back in a room. So I forgot what we were talking about. Influencers. Like people who run art galleries, or are you a competition to those people? Or what about magazines? Is there a way that you can get PR, you know, using that kind of, because it's a brand new kind of methodology of selling art, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, when we started talking to Leeds Art University, and they were very good on giving us some guidance for a model that would work with the students. We can revisit that and get them behind us, but we've still got the same problem that there's no selection on the quality of the art there. Mm. Yeah, I'm struggling on influencers. Again, are you thinking of influencers to influence artists or the actual buyers?
Buyers. You see, you've got two customers and you have to treat the customers separately on marketing. So on your artist, that's one specific type of marketing, and only one specific or maybe two specific types of marketing will work. And then on your buyers, they're still investors, aren't they? Because we're buying art effectively. But on your buyers, they are, again, a very specific type of marketing will work for them. So it's unlocking that magical code. And when you unlock that magical code, you'll know which one it is, but you've not got there yet. And when you do get there, you'll know exactly what it is. And in fact, one of the things that I've drawn up, let me just make that a bit bigger. One of the things that we do for a lot of our clients is we drive people into groups. Like we're live in several groups right now and on YouTube. And this then goes out on iTunes and Spotify, which also blows my mind, by the way. First time my kids ever said, "Dad, are you on iTunes? Why are you on iTunes?" It blew my mind the first time that happened. I'm like, yeah, me and Jay-Z, you know. So what we suggest to our clients is that they actually have a group of people who love art. Not to all our clients, but in your circumstance, have a group, people who love art. And then what we would recommend people do is they go live, like we are doing right now inside a few groups. And they go live and you go, "This is Bob. Bob does this type of art. And Bob, let's have a look at some of your art." And then you have a chat and you have a nice discussion, and that will attract people back to a website. And then, so you could even put links, like, you know, I've put a link to your website in the chat box. You could put links to your website. So anybody who's watching it goes, "Yeah, I like Bob's art. I'm gonna have a look at that." And then we go to the website and we see all his other art. So then your job turns into simply, and this is social media, driving people into the group. If you have 10,000 people in this group, or like it's 3,500 people in the Leeds Business Network group, if you can drive all these people into a group, you don't even have to sell anything. All you got to do is raise your profile within that group and drive people down to the things that you want to sell them. And, you know, a proportion of those people will buy. But whilst they're in this group, you'll be doing a number of different things. You'll be building reputation. You'd be seen as the expert in the group because you're bringing on all these artists. You'd be seen as the go-to person. People get to know you, which is really vital because you can't sell anyone anything if they don't know who you are. You don't know who you exist. They get to like you. In my case, dislike me, whatever. I don't care. You know my thoughts on that. I'm like, if you like me, awesome. We'll do business. If you don't like me, awesome. You're not going to waste my time. I love it, right? So they're going to get to know you, get to like you, and get to trust you. And when they get to trust you, that's at that point, they then start to buy, not just one, but more. And then they start to recommend other people. So have you got a Facebook group, people who love art?
We haven't. The next step was actually a Facebook group just for the artists. I had it in my head, actually.
And I agree. You should have two, one for the artists and one for the buyers, because you've got two customers. And so that looks like this. You've got two groups side by side. It's exactly the same model that I drew earlier, except you've got one group here and another group here, and you have a broker in the middle. It's still a brokering model. So this one's artists, and this one's buyers. And these are Facebook groups. So this one attracts artists, and I'm off screen there. Let me just make this a bit bigger. There we go. This one attracts artists, and it's only designed to attract artists, nothing else. Just very specific, very funneled, very tunnel vision, I meant to say, very tunnel vision just on artists. And then this one is just on buyers. It's not about artists or anything yet. It's about shoving as many people who love art. And at the point of interview is when you introduce each artist into that group as a conversation, just like we're doing here. So that would work.
Right. Yeah. I hadn't thought about the next step of doing a group just for art buyers.
Mm. Now, this is in addition to everything else that you're doing. It's not,
yeah.
You know, because people go, well, what should I do? Do I get people into a Facebook group or do I get an email address? Well, you do both, obviously. Why would you just do one or the other? Do both. And the way that when we are pushing out on social media, ideally you want everybody to go back either to your website here or to a Facebook group. Again, this is social media at the top. And you're either going to drive traffic to your website because that's where people buy. That's where the transaction actually takes place over here on a, you know, checkout cart. They put the credit card in. That's where that transaction takes place on the website. But here is where you get the KLT, you get to know, like, and trust you. This is your Facebook group. So you're still driving people into your Facebook group. You still do both at the same time. But then you're moving people from the group over to this page where people are then going to buy. And this is where you'll have your little interviews with your artists, potentially. So this is your buyers group. But also, you'll have an artist group as well. This is still you. You're still the broker. But that's where the transaction actually takes place on the website. So this would represent different traffic. For your artists, you'll have one specific type of traffic, all to do with selling art or solving the problem of selling art. For your people who want to buy art, the type of traffic that you're going to drive into that is, like, what problems do people have buying art? Maybe not getting access to enough different types of art to find something that they really like. If they need 300 pieces of art to be shown before they're going to buy one, then they want to be in here to be shown 300 pieces of art, and then they're going to be able to buy it more. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. It's funny that the artist group, I presumed, I had it in my head, we were going to be a closed group just of artists who'd already signed up with us. I hadn't actually seen it as a sales tool for artists who might be interested in signing up as well.
Yeah. So it's almost like when we do what we call an ascension ladder or a value ladder, and I apologize for all my diagrams today. You know how much I enjoy a good diagram, though. So on the ascension ladder, so here is three. Here's a £27 product. Here's a £270 product. This might be £2,700 product. This right here is a Facebook group. And this isn't specifically your business. This is just most people's businesses, especially information marketing and so on. So this is like a VIP group event. This is like monthly coaching, and this is an ebook or a training course or whatever. But right here, to get people in, you've got to get people in. Because if they don't know you, then they're never going to get onto this. So that's why you've got to have something that's free, and the bit that's free is adding value is the group, because people will stay for the community. And that's what you're building here, is a community of artists that support each other and like each other's stuff and have just general chit-chats. That's a community. And it's the same on the people who are going to buy the art. People are going to go, oh, I saw this one on Dave's website. I like this piece. And someone else goes, oh, I never saw that. I think I'll buy that myself. That's how it works. That's the community in work there. But then the next bit is, once they're in the free Facebook group, is they might move on to this next stage, which I don't know what the commission is. It might be a £27 product. Depends how much the art is worth. If let's say you get 10% and you're selling a 2,700 piece of art, and you make 10% on it, it could be that. So you've got to be driving people to a location that they're actually getting value. And the model looks like a donut. Okay, so the jam is the bit where you want to get people to. This is where the money is, right in the middle. but you've got these concentric circles and you want people to get to the jam, but they're never going to get to the jam until they start biting through the earlier bits. And this is all free content around here. All this is free content. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You do, right? Yes. So
that's why you should be having two groups. Like, it's 2020. The thing in 2020 is groups, Facebook groups all the way. It's like, it's not pages. It can be email, but the only reason you have someone's email address is to ask them to join the group or send them to a page on your website. Because they're the only two things that you're pushing, a group or a website, you know, to buy something. It's the only reason you have email, other than warming people up maybe. But then you warm people up inside your group as well. So like in my own private group, I go live 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And I've done it for years now. 400 podcasts are out there that people can download and listen to. And so now people are getting to know you, like you, and trust you. They're getting loads and loads of free content. And we're building trust and reassurance and honesty. And they get used to you, your sense of humor, how you sound, my terrible jokes, my dreadful drawings. And then at some point, they're going to buy from you because you've built that over a period of time. Whereas most people, they're driving someone to a web page and going, why are people not buying it right now? That might be you, by the way. It might be. I suspect it is on some level, where you're getting wanting people to buy straight away. And they might do, but it's only 5%. What about the other 35% who are amber? So greens are 5%, they're going to buy. Amber's 25%, let's say. They will buy, but they need a bit of reassurance, trust, likability, honesty, authenticity, consistency, all that good stuff. And then the other 65%, whatever the number is, 60%, they're never going to buy, even if you give away a free house with it. They're just never going to buy. Mm. And that's okay. But you're developing this way so that people can get to know, like, and trust you using these groups. And then all you got to do is drive traffic into the group, demonstrate the artwork that you're able to sell, and your sales will go up as well.
Yeah, I think one of the things I had in my mind was actually getting the artist to be doing this as well. That what did you call it? Know, like, trust.
Yeah.
And actually training them up to get them to be doing Facebook Live a couple of times a week. Getting them to do slow time-lapsed videos of when they're doing a painting, that sort of thing, and getting more content from them that they can actually put out.
So there's two types of content there, though. So the first one is, if they're going to go live to their people, they need to put out on Instagram or Facebook, hey, guys, I'm going live in this Facebook group. Come and join me. I'm going to talk about my art and being interviewed by Dave. Now you're benefiting from their traffic, and all the other artists are benefiting from their traffic. And then when these other artists do exactly the same, the original artist is benefiting from their traffic, right? So what you're doing is you're shoving all these people into your group. So now, instead of having just his followers on Instagram or Facebook, let's say it's 200 people who are potentially going to watch that, you can, and by the way, like the way that we've done this interview, we're going live on YouTube and on Twitter and on Facebook. I think one or two different groups are going live. You could do that. So you could go live on his Facebook feed and in your group. So at least you're going to drive some people into the group from him. And then this group's numbers is going to start getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So that would be a good way of doing it as well.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. To be honest, I've never done a Facebook Live ever.
You have now. So well done. You didn't swear. You had the postman.
Oh, I haven't sworn yet. Yeah, just any general tips on Facebook Live for me and what I can pass back to artists as well.
You see, the problem is if you're trying to get artists to go live, that's not what they're good at. They're good at creating art. And again, that's the age-old problem that people have. They're trying to do stuff they're not really even very good at. That's like, I could get someone on this show, for example, who's maybe a little bit nervous and a little bit shy, and we can work with it and help guide them through the interview, for example. We can do that. But if you have an artist going live on their own, they have no idea what to talk about. They don't know how to move something on. They don't know how to create questions out of thin air or how to answer it. It can be very uncomfortable watching, if you see what I mean. Some people watching this are going, it's like this, actually. But you're asking them to do something that's out of their skill set. Whereas actually, if you were in the group, you're going to do two things. One is you're going to drive more people into the group. And the second thing is you're going to be in control over that transaction, of a transaction being them going live a little bit more. And you can control that conversation to exactly where, either where you want it to go, or you can direct it from where you don't want it to go, which is if they start saying, oh, just come to my website at bobsmith.com. Like, and then you can kind of interject and go, yeah, you can do that, but actually you want to be in the group, come in, or actually it's at your Art Butler. That's where you can actually get this art, and then you can buy it online and it's shipped out and it's all done for you. It's, so you can take control over that conversation effectively. Quick question, quick shout out to everybody else. Is there any questions? Just stick them in a box down below. Did you have a question there, Dave, or a statement? Were you about to say something, in other words? Did I cut you off?
Oh, no. So regarding the Facebook Live then, because of the artists, you'd actually recommend doing them like this, do as an interview rather than just expect them to do a piece to camera themselves.
Yeah, because what you can do is you can put in the box the link specifically to their artwork. So when you see a lot of people watching or people asking questions, you can go, yeah, here's the link. And then that will take them directly to the webpage where they can actually buy the artwork. And you might even make some sales online, like during the live, or you get most of your stuff after the live. So like right now we've got 3 people watching, but it's gone up. We've had like 12 people, we've had 5 people, we've had 6 people, we've had 1 person, and it goes up and down. That is the nature of lives. You don't make your money during the live, you make your money after the live. That's why we take this live, for example. Like, we can't get live on LinkedIn because we've applied 3 times and we still can't get live. We've only got 14,000 connections. I don't know why we can't get live on LinkedIn, but we can't. So what we do is we take this video and we re-upload it to LinkedIn. And then we take this and we upload it to Spotify and iTunes. And we even take this as a podcast. And even though this is live on YouTube, we re-upload it to YouTube for a second run. Then we take it and we embed it on our website, and then that then goes out on social media. So we have all these different ways of getting traction effectively. So the idea behind these is that you create the content, but the money is made after the content is created. So like the artist that comes on board and you do an interview with them, for the next 3 months, once a month, you post it out for the next 3 months. You can schedule it to be posted a month from now, 2 months from now, 6 months from now. So you've done the work once and you're constantly pushing that piece of art or the artist every single month. So you might even end up having done 30 interviews every month, one a day. By the time you get to day 90, you've got 90 interviews all done, all ready to go out. You've done the work once and you just keep posting it out as many times as you can. I like to be lazy.
I love how you can use one piece of content across multiple channels like that.
Yeah, it just needs a bit of organizing. That's the only thing. We've got a team that does it, so anybody watching wants us to do it, we'll do it. But for us, that's you know, like, we've had hundreds of thousands of people download the podcast. Well, we take those podcasts from 4 years ago, and if they're still relevant, we'll still post them, because for content, if it's like investing principles or marketing principles, as long as they've not changed, we can use that content still and post it out, and we get more listeners. We're building KLT, know, like, and trust. So it all adds onto all of your content, all this social media content that's going out, and you know, you should be putting more content out. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah, no, you've got my head spinning now. How are we going to do the interviews and, yeah, sorts of questions I'm going to be able to use on artists?
Okay, perfect. Let me ask you a couple more questions. After this, then, like, what's your dream? So let's say that it all goes well and you're 5 years down the line. Where do you want to be? What do you want to be doing? How do you want to be living life? How's that going to look?
So whenever I set up a business, I always design it to be location independent, so I can run it from anywhere, because I love traveling, is one of my passions. Doing this with a partner, Alex, who does more of the IT side of it and brings all the skills that I haven't got. And together we're both designing it to be as systemized as possible. So 5 years time, if it's all running well, 4 hours a week, just catching up with him, what's going on with the site, and maybe finding some new artists, and being on a yacht in the Caribbean or a ski chalet in Banff, wherever.
Nice. And the coronavirus, how's that affected your business, if at all?
For your art butler, to be honest, it's actually probably been a positive thing because it's given a lot of time and focus for myself and Alex to go and do all the boring stuff, getting the website set up, trying all the different stuff. It just means we'd be able to put more time into it rather than being distracted with everything else going on in the normal world.
So yeah, because I kind of felt a little bit guilty because actually things are going quite well, considering coronavirus, everything shut down for 3 months. And yet, actually, we've just had more opportunities that have come through. But I think sometimes it can be difficult for us people who've been furloughed and they're not sure if they're going to go back to a job. And we've known each other quite a number of years now. And I hate having my destiny in the hands of somebody else. And I think you're definitely like that as well. You want to take the bull by the horns and lead it to where you want to take it rather than it leading you. And I think anybody who's watching this they have a problem sometimes of getting caught up in the day-to-day of their business without having that long-term vision. Because when I've asked people, go, I don't know, doing this. And it's like, is this really what you want to be doing? Is this why you're doing it? Or is there something bigger? And there's no right answer, of course, but you've clearly got a bigger goal to be aiming for, which is one of the reasons for doing this in the first place.
Yeah, it was an interesting, because I also run a property business as well. And about 15 years ago when we were starting that up, I'd actually booked myself to do a round the world yacht race. And so I had about 18 months from starting the business to potentially being out of communication for months. And it was really helpful knowing that in 18 months, you're not going to be there to answer phone. You're not going to be there to answer any emails. Mm-hmm. So designing the business from day one with the view that you're designing yourself out of it actually helped massively. Yeah. And that's one of the key things I've always got. Virtually everything I'm doing with your art butler, I'm only doing it the once, learning how to systemize it, and then we're putting it into a program. So there shouldn't really be a proper ongoing day-to-day role for me within the business.
It's not a proper job.
Oh, definitely not. Job, one of those.
Yeah, exactly. Right, I think we'll call it there, Dave. That's awesome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your, I was going to say busy schedule, but I don't really know how busy you are these days. But thank you for spending the time with us to go through your business. I think it's interesting. I think it's insightful going through some of the marketing as well and seeing how that goes. I've enjoyed it. Hopefully you have as well. And for everybody who's watched, thank you very much as well. We'll speak to you on the next one next Thursday. Take care.
Brilliant. Cheers. Bye.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.